WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Yes, we're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. Find the schedule out at Baltimore Positive. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. You buy two, you get two free, as always with them. I've been waiting to get this guy on for a long time. We have a new thing at BaltimorePositive.com, the new, after the website crash and the Chad Steele press credential thing, I've added authors and books to like a whole thing because I love having authors on. This guy, I met him in the locker room in Fort Lauderdale. I'm sure Scott Erickson was making milkshake that day, special milkshake. We were down at Fort Lauderdale Stadium. He covered baseball. He got himself into some hot water by writing some uncomfortable truths that turned out to be the state of, about 42% of the country before it was all over with. He is now writing books, making movies from time to time. I have two of his books here. I still haven't had him on for Football for a Buck. We're not going to talk too much about Trump or the USFL, although Herschel Walker would be an interesting comment. The new book is out. It's The Last Folk Hero. Much better dude than Herschel Walker. The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. We welcome the defending champion of all things independent writing and journalism. Welcome Jeff Perlman back onto the program. And Jeff, I want to let you know, I saw your rant about asking you anything I want. I'm not going to ask you about John Rocker.
You can if you want. You just brought him up, damn it. You just brought him up.
But I'm not going to ask you about it.
We talked off the air and I said, if you bring up Rocker, I'm hanging up. And then you just bring him up right away and I can't believe it. And now
I know you're out.
Can I just tell you, can I tell you something? We're making history right now. Can I tell you why?
Because you're wearing an Orioles shirt.
Nope, more. Well, yes, but I'm wearing an Orioles shirt in the Birmingham La Quinta Inn. I got a room for $71. And I just want to say this morning, they offered three kinds of cereals, okay? They offered Raisin Bran, they offered Corn Flakes, and they offered Fruit Loops. And I spoiled myself and went with the Fruit Loops.
I had a different experience. If it's the La Quinta that right by the foot of the airport, near the Waffle House, if it's that one. I stayed there the night the Braves won the World Series in 95, and I got offered special room service there. I didn't take up on it, but it was a very strange Birmingham, a little different down there. You're doing the tour down in the land of Bo, right? And I saw you're down there early on. Look, you write books on all sorts of stuff, and the first question is sort of why Bo? And you're so pop culture focused. You're sort of kind of my age. You've written at a high level. You've been around all these famous goats and all this stuff. But when you take a deep dive, this thick sort of Michener-esque on Bo Jackson, the thing I always think about you is you find something nobody's written extensively about in some way. Bo is probably, I don't say forgotten about, but maybe not chronicled in the way that you went back and took a look at this.
Definitely. That's the reason I did in a lot of ways. I mean, I wouldn't do it. It has to be a subject that at least has a chance of catching people's interest. You know, like I'm not going to do like the Lenny Cicada story. I did that one for you because, no charge, but no one is buying the Lenny Cicada story. So it has to be someone who has a shot. And I do think there's always been this mystique about Bo Jackson, you know, and people know who he is. It's interesting. Like people either know Bo Knows or they know Tecmo Bowl or they know him running over Bosworth or they know him climbing up the wall. You know, there are little snippets of time that people know, but he kind of vanished and I would say writing about Bo Jackson is not that different than I think writing about Kennedy or Tupac or Jim Morrison or Marilyn Monroe, where it's someone we all knew in their height. And they vanished. And those
Why? What happened? Explain that to me because that is curious. He's shown up in like some chip commercials and stuff from time to time, right? Like in a Heisman way or whatever. But like he doesn't do the circuit, if that may, you know, in that way. I mean, certainly not the way Brett Favre has done the circuit.
No, he's a lot better of a guy than Brett Favre. He honestly, he doesn't need it. Like, he doesn't need it. He doesn't need to be the center of attention. It really speaks to his character, I have to say. Like, you never hear Bo Jackson on some TV broadcast ripping Derrick Henry and saying, I'm better than this guy. You know, you'll never see him dogging the modern athlete. Like, it's just not him. Like, he's a grandpa. He's a dad. He shovels his driveway. He does commercials. He did a really funny car commercial with Brian Bosworth a few years ago. Like, he has a sense of humor about himself. But he's not... He doesn't feel left out of the conversation. He doesn't care. He's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame. He's just happy with his life. And that, don't you think, honest to God, don't you think Bo Jackson is a more interesting figure that way than if he were like hawking Bo Knows collector coins and Bo Knows gumballs? Like he's more interesting having vanished.
I think the era of Dion playing, and we had one here in Brian Jordan from Milford Mill that was just an incredible two-sport athlete. Now we see Ohtani pitching and hitting, right? For him to be that guy that could do both things and do things so well, and then really tragically kind of have it taken away from him, right? Like there was no afterglow or senior or Tom Brady, what he's doing at 45, or even what I'm trying to think of other running backs, Adrian Peterson, you know, running around in his late 30s or whatever, doing it. With him, he did vanish, and it was sort of taken away from the fans and him. And I don't know what happened until you sent the book that's this big to say, here's sort of the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story with Bo, right?
Well, I had obviously a very, very bad hip injury that was sustained in a 1991 playoff game against the Cincinnati Bengals when Bo was with the Raiders, and he suffered an injury called avascular necrosis, which is really the deadening of your bone and your, in this case, your hip, and he no longer could use it. But I'm telling you, it's sad for us, and it's sad from a sports historian sense that this guy could have been this, and this guy could he have been Mike Trout and Eric Dickerson? You know, could he have been? What could he have been? But he's not sad about it. Like, that's the weirdest thing. He's the guy who's not sad about it. So all the people I talked to from high school opponents and teammates, Auburn, Raiders, Royals, it's so sad. It's so sad. He could have been. And Bo Jackson's kind of like, meh, I lived my life. I did something. The Royals didn't want him playing football. He did it. You know, the Raiders wanted him to play baseball full time. He did football full time. He did not. And it ended shortly. And he's like, I don't know. I lived my life. I tried it. I went for it. It's cool.
Well, Michael Jordan went for it, and Dion went for it, right? Sure. At a point when, and Dion clearly was cut from a different cloth of attention, right? Sure. But having the ability to do it and then actually going and doing it, Bo Jackson sort of set the standard for that, because Dion was a pretty good baseball player, won a little bit, it was a side gig for him. I don't think any of us could ever figure out which one was the side gig with Bo Jackson.
I would say football was a side gig. He called it a hobby when he said, I'm going to do football as a hobby. Right. And he's the only guy. All right. To put in perspective, I just want to, how good of an athlete Bo Jackson was. All right. Just like you guys had Brian Jordan. Brian Jordan was amazing. I covered Brian Jordan when he was with the Braves. Amazing. Dion, amazing. Even Michael Jordan, I always say Michael Jordan hit 202 in double A ball, right? Having not played since high school. And everyone was like, oh, it's a failure. That's not a failure. Hitting above 200 in double A ball is no joke. Like, that is hard. And he was 6'6" and the whole thing. Bo Jackson from Bessemer, Alabama, McAdory High School. When he was in high school, he won the state decathlon championship as a junior and again as a senior, both times without taking off his sweatpants. Honestly, without taking off his sweatpants. His senior year, he won the state decathlon championship on a sprained ankle. The day after the decathlon was over, he pitched a 13 strikeout playoff game win for McAdory. The only game,
of course, he pitched. I didn't even think about Bo Jackson pitching.
But he wasn't.
Right?
He wasn't a pitcher. They just needed a pitcher for that one game. He pitched one game, struck out 13. He set 5 individual state track and field championships. He stole 90 out of 91 bases in high school. He set the single season national home run record with 20 home runs in a season in just 25 games. He won the Heisman Trophy at Auburn. He was an Olympic caliber sprinter. His first major league at bat was against Steve Carlton, Royals White Sox, September 2nd, 1986. Bo beats out a grounder to second, runs it in 3.6 seconds, which is the second fastest time ever for a right-handed hitter going first home to first. He didn't even know who Steve Carlton was after the game. He's like, I don't know who that is. Like, he was redonkulously ridiculous, the best athlete we've ever seen. He could have been an Olympic sprinter. He ran a 4.13 40, which is faster than Tyreek Hill. And Tyreek Hill is 40 pounds lighter than Bo Jackson. He ran a 4.17 40 in pads on grass with the Raiders. There's never, ever, ever pick your greatest athlete, merge him with your other greatest athlete, and he won't be as great as Bo Jackson.
That's why Jeff Perlman writes the book. It is The Last Folk Hero, the life and the times, or excuse me, life and myth of Bo Jackson. For you in putting this thing together and going through Alabama, I know your politics a little bit. I follow you a little bit. What are you finding in an election month with a book down in that part of the world and going out and shaking hands with people and saying, I'm Jeff Perlman. I'm a sports writer. I'm the rocker guy. They're all Braves fans down there, right? They know
I don't
say
that.
Right. But where you find this incredible black athlete. And I guess we could bring Ozzie Newsome in Alabama and, you know, what Nick Saban represents down there. What is Bo Jackson? What is his myth there prior to you writing a book?
He's an icon. He is the icon. He is. All right. I went to the Auburn Arkansas game on Saturday. Auburn's terrible this year, but it was my first ever game at Auburn. Cause when I reported the book, it was during COVID. 500, 600 Bo Jackson jerseys walking around that stadium. Bo Jackson literally hasn't played a game at Auburn in almost 40 years. And there are just endless. I did when I was working on the book, I went around the campus randomly. And I said, I'm going to ask 100 random students whether they've heard of Bo Jackson. Okay. 99 out of 100 knew who Bo Jackson was. He has not played a football game here in 40 years. If you go to Syracuse and ask about Jim Brown, if you go to Notre Dame and ask about Rocket Ismail, if you go to Texas and even ask about Ricky Williams, 99 out of 100 are not knowing those people. It is bonkers. And
if you go to Georgia and ask about Herschel Walker, they'll tell you they're voting for him next week.
True. They'll know Herschel Walker. That is true. And politically, I'm going to say something. It's going to sound kind of weird. I'm here in Alabama. I'm a New York liberal Jew who lives in California, right? And I can't stand the whole MAGA movement. It breaks my heart. What's happening to America breaks my heart. When you're here and you talk to people, you're reminded that people are inherently good and decent. And people have gotten caught up in this poison. They really have. They've been caught up in this poison. And people are easily swayed. But it doesn't mean necessarily that they're bad people. And you meet people, and they're lovely. And they're engaging. And they're embracing. And like I tell them I'm from New York, and they won't say, oh, New York. They'll say, oh, I went to see Hamilton with my daughter. It was so lovely. I love walking around the city. People are not inherently assholes. I really believe that. I just think this is toxins that has been injected into people and people can't see outside of it. But I do believe inherently people are good. I really do. Something has been broken in this country. It breaks my heart. I can't believe Herschel Walker, whose one qualification is he won the 1982 Heisman Trophy, actually might win this election. I can't even fathom, but we're broken. We're broken, but we're not evil. We're just broken.
Well, I would say this for you. I'll hold your other book up here. I don't have the whole collection, but I do collect your books. Football for a Buck, The Crazy Rise and Crazier Demise of the USFL. I don't want to say it's an F you to Trump to some degree, right? But I mean, I'll let you speak for your book. I didn't have you on to talk about it, but this was sort of, I mean, you write about sports, but it's so much more as it relates to the bigger picture, what sports is supposed to do and bring people together. This thing, I lived through all this, Baltimore Stars, Chuck Fucina, Jim Moore, you know, the whole deal. They never played a game in Baltimore, but they were the Baltimore Stars. And what happened to the league? I mean, it's almost like a handbook for how businesses was conducted in this country for 4 years, right?
I mean, I view it as a handbook as to, here's what Donald Trump did to this football league. Now watch. You know, I always said when the book was coming out, I was working on it when he was talking about, we're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. That was his whole thing. We're going to build a wall and Mexico is going to pay for it. And in the USFL, I literally was researching, Donald Trump signs Doug Flutie to the New Jersey Generals, sends a letter to all the other owners and says, I've brought this magnificent player to the league. It's going to pay huge dividends. Everyone here should pay for it, pay his salary. And I kept saying to people, Doug Flutie was the Mexico wall before the Mexico wall, when he was accused of conspiring with Russia. And everyone's like, no, no, no. He literally had a secret meeting with Pete Rozelle, the NFL commissioner, to figure out a way to throw the USFL, his own league, under the bus to get an NFL franchise. So, you know, it's basically a guidebook. It's just a guidebook.
Well, it's amazing how he wandered into the league and Buffalo and Bon Jovi and like all of that. And what prison we can only hope that he winds up in. But to go back to that league and what the genesis of the whole thing for him and money and Herschel Walker played for him, right? I mean, like, it's the same sort of characters 4 decades later immersed in all of this, right?
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. I don't even know how I actually feel bad for Herschel Walker. I truly do, believe it or not. I think he's a useful idiot. I think he's a great guy for the Republican Party. He's an African-American candidate who allows Republicans to say, how can we be racist? We have, look, here's our black candidate. We can't be racist. You're the racist. But he's damaged. He's not intelligent. He's not worldly. He lies a lot. He obviously is a serial abuser of women. He's a guy who's anti-abortion, but seems to believe in abortions. Like, he's the worst candidate I've ever seen. But again, he might win. It's so weird. He might win.
My favorite piece of USFL sort of nostalgia that I see float around, I had the worst crush on Carling Bassett. I think, you know, most of us did. And her dad, you know, wrote, he owned the Tampa Bay team, I believe. He wrote the nastiest letter to Trump and like basically physically threatened Trump, right? Like, I think that letter still stands in the loo for letters to Donald Trump.
It hangs on my wall.
No, does it really? The original?
Yeah, it's in my office. Not the original, but a copy of it. Because it basically said, my favorite line is like, you are younger than me, you are stronger than me, blah, blah, blah. But if you continue to treat people this way, I will punch you in the face. I will not hesitate to punch you in the face. I love that letter. I put that letter out there because I wanted people to see what a scumbag he was. And it didn't work. He got elected president.
What's next for you, man? You're writing a Bo Jackson. I know you're on your Bo tour right now, and I certainly wish you luck. But you, I mean, you tackle these projects and you fall in love with them. I don't know if you thought it was going to be this thick, but once you get into a topic, I mean, you're a great writer. I can sit here and kiss your butt. I do that to Steve Rushen and a whole bunch of your other brethren every time I have them on once, twice a year. But for you to tackle a book and tackle a project as this professional writer, no longer like at the periodical level 20 years ago, selling this, doing this, believing in it, do you bring book ideas or do they come to you? How does it all work? Because I marvel at your, how much you write. I mean, you write all day, every day.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. Most of the ideas are mine. People offer and pitch ideas. I get a lot lately. I've been getting a lot of pitches. Have you thought someone said Ripken? I was like, I don't know. Someone else said Ozzie Smith recently. Then someone said a book idea I kind of like, which was 80s wrestling. I think that'd be kind of fun, actually.
There you go.
Characters. But mostly I come up with my own ideas, and it has to be something. One thing I learned from writing a Roger Clemens book that I did not enjoy is you have to be passionate about the subject you're writing about. You have to be, and you have to love it, and you have to be willing to put 2 years of your life into it. So like Clemens really did not intrigue me after I started working on it. And every day it felt like going to a, you know, trash heap and digging out the bottom. Bo Jackson didn't feel that way at all. It was a joy.
Do you need something to have a happy ending and some uplifting at this point? Because the USFL didn't, but the Bo Jackson thing feels like a more uplifting tale, right? Literally.
No, I don't. I don't because I don't even think about the ending. And also, you know, I wrote about Walter Payton. It was one of the most rewarding book experiences of my life. He died at the end. You know, I knew he was going to, obviously he died at the end. I knew he died at the end, but no, it's not about the ending. It's about the journey for me and about the experiences and interesting characters. You really want good characters and color and stuff like that.
Well, you had him in Showtime, right?
I mean, it wound up being a TV show. So that worked out pretty well for me, didn't it?
Yeah. You know what? What happened with that? And certainly the kickback as to portrayals of certain characters and whatnot. I don't think any of us would like our portrayal in a movie, right? Like, I don't think anybody would say, well, they got that right.
You know, I guess not. I don't, I love the show. I love everything it's done for me and my family and the book and just the experiences. And it's been a really cool Hollywood experience for me. It truly has, and my family.
I could tell that on Twitter, that when I met you chasing Scott Erickson and Cal Ripken around an Oriole locker room 25 years ago, I don't think you ever thought that, I mean, even the premieres and all that stuff, that was really a neat thing for you, right? Like that's not what you set out to do.
No, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. I mean, my wife was out of town, but I got to take my kids, Casey and Emmett, to the premiere. We're in Hollywood. We're at this movie theater that's been converted into a Winning Time theater. And there's all these celebrities around, and they send a car for us. And my kids and I are smoking cigars. We don't smoke, but we just thought, if you had a party in Hollywood where they're making cigars with the name of a TV show based on your book wrapped around the cigar, you got to smoke a cigar. So it's me and my kids, and we're smoking cigars with like Jason Segel and Michael Chiklis, and Adam McKay is giving a toast. I mean, the whole thing was just, it was one of the great, great, great moments of my life, truly.
All right, so I want to talk some real life sports because we're in Baltimore. Jeff Perlman is here. I don't get him on too often. He writes great books. You can go buy all of them. He's also made some screenplays and movies and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what your next project is, or you're not telling me yet?
I can't tell you.
Okay,
I do know. I can't tell you. Yeah.
Are you wearing the Oriole shirt because you really decided to do the Ripken story, or no?
I'm not doing Ripken. You know what? I don't think he's interesting enough. I mean, I'm not saying he's not interesting. I'm not sure that story is interesting enough for a book. You disagree?
Okay. So I've had two topics this week, and when people listen to this, it may be a little stale, but we just played Tom Brady the other night. I was with Cal Ripken an hour before I saw Tom Brady play Lamar Jackson, right? So I get all the protagonists out onto the – Cal's in his second marriage. We were at a charity event for his father's foundation. It was crabs. It was before the game. So happy. so relaxed. I was in that locker room with Cal for 15 years. You know what I mean? Like he was never a jerk ever, ever, ever.
Yeah.
He just never was a jerk, but it was on business. Now he's on pleasure. And then I see Tom Brady miserable, getting his ass kicked, miserable about everybody. And the next day he's getting divorced, you know, out on the internet. Right. And then I see Lamar Jackson, and maybe I could equate that and bring it full circle with your book on Bo to say Bo had this awful injury. I think everybody's thing with Lamar is you run into linebackers, take the money, take the $100 million, take the $120 million. Lamar's going at this differently, right? About money and happiness. And I think happiness and money is an interesting concept that we've seen it all different kinds of ways. But the Brady thing, it's like this American tragedy, these beautiful people being miserable enough to want to be separated, you know?
All right. I'm just saying, once again, I'm staying in the La Quinta Inn for $71 a night. My sadness for Tom Brady is not that strong. It sucks. I'm being sincere about this. I never root for someone to get divorced. You know, like I don't. And also like, I think way too often we look at people like Tom Brady, like a Kardashian, any athlete, and we think, man, you got it made. You got it made, you know? And like, I feel like I have it made. I actually do. I feel like I have it made. I have a great wife. I have great kids. Yeah, I'm staying in La Quinta in Alabama. I love this stuff. Like, I love this. I love that I get to write books. I love that I get to do this. I'd rather be me than Lamar Jackson. I'd rather not face the toll of getting in a car accident every time I get hit by a linebacker, you know, the same kind of feeling. I don't want, he may be living a life now, but he's going to be 40 years old one day and he's going to have his knees destroyed and his, you know, like living the life is such a, it's always seems like someone else is living the life, you know? And Tom Brady does seem miserable right now. He actually does. And it sucks. Like it sucks for him. So I don't know. And if I'm Lamar Jackson, first of all, I really commend the guy for taking a stand. I do. I think it's admirable. I think he's like, standing up for himself.
He's fighting for everybody else too. I mean, the Players Association.
I love Lamar Jackson. I love everything about that guy. My friend and I have an argument. My friend thinks he's a mediocre quarterback who like, you know, is just like, he's a running back playing quarterback and blah, 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 blah. I think Lamar Jackson is a revolutionary NFL player. I think he's one of the, going to go down as one of the great, I don't know if he'll go down as one of the great all-time quarterbacks, technical quarterbacks, but he's going to go down as a shape-shifting guy who really changed the way he took Michael Vick and Steve Young and those guys and took it to a next level. I freaking love that guy. And I think the Ravens should pay that guy what he wants because I think he's a revolutionary player. I really do. And also seems like a genuinely decent and enjoyable guy who seems liked in the locker room, which matter.
Well, I think the other part of this is for the Ravens, they're in a really weird, awkward position where all these NBA players have asked out, talked about where they want. I mean, Eli Manning's father did it. And we've forgotten about it 20 years later, but you know, we're getting to the point now where it's getting a little slippery. Lamar might want to go somewhere else and get a better tax situation or whatever. And the other part of him that's interesting to me, given your Bo Jackson and the hip and all that, is I hope he's got some Lloyd's of London, right? I mean, playing at half price right now at this point in his career, sitting here talking about his contract openly, we haven't had to do that with Raven players. The Ravens have really been good about signing their players.
Well, I have good news for you. Amazing news for you. Let's say Lamar Jackson leaves. Okay. I believe next year, a certain quarterback who plays in Washington nearby is going to be available to play in his fourth team in 4 years. And that man's name is Carson Wentz. And I think you have a shot to get him.
Don't haze me when you're wearing an Orioles shirt. All right. I mean, it's bad enough I'm watching the Astros. The Phillies are greasing down poles here. Why the Orioles shirt? Did you do that to honor me, Perlman? What's going on there? That's a legit 1973. That's the logo I grew up with, man. That was it right there.
I went through during early COVID in particular. So there's never been, this is the golden age of t-shirts. This is the golden age of t-shirts. You can get any t-shirt you want. You can get them in the most comfortable fabric. And early on during the pandemic, I was just a t-shirt Coke addict. And I was just like, t-shirts, t-shirts. I'm going to go to this website. I went to a website with all these vintage. I actually got a Phillies one and an Orioles one with the throwback logos. So kind of fun. And this is mix and match time, but sitting here right by me.
Oh, look at that. You bring out Harvey's wall bangers just to rub in 82 on me. A cheap shot kicking me in the nuts on the way out. That's Jeff Perlman. The book is The Last Folk Hero. He doesn't come on often enough, but when he does, it's great. The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. He's somewhere lost in not the Birmingham La Quinta that I was propositioned in 1995. But he's in not the honky tonk when he's in the first class La Quinta down in Alabama. Hey, good luck selling the book, man, and keep writing great books. And I'll be the one glued to your Twitter when you're pouring coffee on your laptop and having writer's block on a Tuesday morning or something like that. But just know when you write it, we're going to read it.
I appreciate that so much. I really do. And let's hope Twitter survives this recent takeover. I'm starting to get, I already see stuff, Pelosi hoax trending on Twitter. I mean, it's getting bad already.
It's a cesspool again. Yeah. We're all going to be looking for a new home. I don't think there's any doubt about it. One thing I think we learned with Trump, and I remember this between that point where he got elected and he went into office when Ray Lewis and Jim Brown were coming and kissing his ring and they were taking the gold elevator and all that. I had friends say, he's run a business. How bad could it be? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's what they said about Angelos when I got thrown out. How bad could it be? Now the kids are fighting. So bad is bad forever. So hey, if we get lost on Twitter, I'll find you on that other thing that we create and make $1 billion.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Jeff Pearlman, he's got the book Football for a Buck. Go get that. It's old. It's not new. Showtime. I got them all here. I can't hold the videotapes up, and you can follow him out on Twitter as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.